I can't get into the pop-out chat again. It keeps telling me to log in and come up with a password. Tuning in. What a dog and pony show in Washington today, huh? Oh, my God. Oh. We'll have some comments on that coming up. We need to make a program change for you. I've been talking about reading Brave New World, and in going over the book itself, it's just going to be impossible to read this on the air, and I'll tell you why. There's a lot of idiomatic British English in it that just doesn't translate to a reading unless everybody is following along and you have a, what do you call it, a precis? What do you call it when the part of a novel that explains what the terms mean? Damn, I'm drawing a blank. Anyway, that's A. B, there are so many voices in this novel, so many different characters, that it's just not going to work. Kathy and I tried it today just to give it a read through chapter one, and it's not going to work. So what we've decided to do instead of Brave New World is to take a shot at Animal Farm. The characters in Animal Farm that have speaking parts, so to speak, if you want to cast it as though it were a play, are not as numerous as in Brave New World. Plus, Animal Farm, I think, is written on a, it's on a different level. Huxley, you've got to remember, Huxley comes from a family of extreme intellectuals and scientists and naturalists and so on and so forth. Anyway, to make a long story short, we've decided we're going to do Animal Farm, and we're going to start it tomorrow evening. So for those of you who bought paperback copies of Brave New World in anticipation of our reading it on the air, go ahead and enjoy it. But trust me on this, all right? Trust your buddy Malloy. It would not have worked trying to read it on the air. It just would not. So that's our announcement. Okay. All right. We hate you, Malloy. You said you were going to read it. We were. But again, it just doesn't work. So, Animal Farm, starting tomorrow. 9 past the hour. This hour is sponsored by Eric and David from Miami, Florida. In honor of the talk show host Neil Rogers, who recently died. Thanks for the memories, Neil. You will be missed. Eric and David in Miami. P.S. Keep up the great work, Mike. Eric and David in Miami, thank you very much. Appreciate the sponsorship. We'll get to the day's events in the House and the Senate in a moment. Although I'm sure you're probably tired of it, right? Haven't you had enough? Man, what a, I don't know. I don't know how to describe it, except I noticed about early this evening, I started to feel nauseous. And I think it was from watching or listening to too much of that. I don't know. It's pretty, pretty brutal stuff. You know what I'm saying? In the news the other day was the fact that Dick Cheney needs a heart transplant if he is going to continue living. the machine that they have forcing blood through his body is, you know, it's got a shelf life. Or his circulatory system has a shelf life. And they have to get him a heart transplant. Now, if he does get one, it's going to be paid for by his health insurance. Health insurance that is all taken care of for him because he is a, I don't know, 35, 40-year-long federal employee. And therefore, entitled to great health insurance. It's government health insurance, in other words, and it's health insurance that you and I and millions of the rest of us paid for. We paid for health insurance for a war criminal and a mass killer who has ordered the death of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of people around the globe. He's a liar. He's just a criminal. He's a war criminal. But because he needs a heart transplant, Dick Cheney will get one because he has government health insurance that you and I paid for. Meanwhile, out in Arizona, in Tucson, a second patient denied a liver transplant because of the budget cuts in Arizona ordered by Governor Jan Brewer. A second patient has died. According to the University Medical Center in Tucson, this person died on December 28th. You remember back on October 1st, the state of Arizona stopped paying for certain organ transplants for patients covered by Medicaid. Now, what's the difference between Medicaid, Medicare, and the government health insurance paid for by millions of us that Dick Cheney has? Well, the essential difference is the health insurance that Cheney gets paid for by American citizens, including the two people who have died, because those two people were working people. And here's the massive irony. These were working people who, over the course of their lives, paid taxes that went in part to pay for the medical insurance enjoyed by Dick Cheney and the members of Congress. And I wonder if those people thought about that as they died because their bodies were unable, their livers were unable any longer to clean out their blood. So Dick Cheney will have to make a decision fairly soon. Either he will accept the fact that he is immortal, he's outlived his time on this planet, and it's time to die. And he will enter hospice care because his heart is rotting from the inside. Or he will elect to glom up somebody's heart. Now, do you think Dick Cheney, if he elects to get a heart, do you think he will take his place in line and wait for one? Or do you think that because he's Dick Cheney, war criminal, mass murderer, and former vice president and secretary of defense and all that, that he will be bumped to the head of the line? I wonder if the two people, I wonder if the 95 other people, other persons in Arizona who are also were on a transplant list of some sort and were told, sorry, it's all over. I wonder if they are thinking about the tax dollars they paid over the years that provided health insurance for federal employees like Dick Cheney and members of Congress. And the fact that they are now dying when an organ transplant could grant them more time, but they have to die so that Dick Cheney can live. And there is a direct correlation. Now, that's pretty macabre to me. That's pretty sickening. We'll be back after the break. Stick around. Yeah.
can't shoot them anymore. That long black cloud is coming down. I feel I'm knocking on heaven's door.
Radio right from the left. It's more Mike Malloy.
21 past the hour. Oh, by the way, coming up 10 o'clock, or the top of the second hour, 10 o'clock here in the East, David Bender is going to join us again. He is the co-host of Ring of Fire. Sam Cedar is joining Ring of Fire. We're going to talk a little bit with David about today's opening session of the 112th Congress. And I think he's also going to talk a little bit about the this progressive cruise. This hour, again, is sponsored by Eric and David from Miami, Florida, in honor of talk show host Neil Rogers, who recently died. Thanks for the memories, Eric and Dave Wright. You will be missed. They had a P.S. Keep up the great work, Mike. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. The business about Cheney and his heart transplant now, that's the thing about our system. You tell me, truth seeker, and I don't care if you're a right-winger or left-winger or whatever you are, but, excuse me, I'm going to get emails now. Stop clearing your throat! I get that a lot. I'm sorry, I forget to do this with the mute button. Well, I'll tell you what, you people that write me emails and tell me to stop clearing my throat, try to do 3 hours of talk radio and see see how your voice holds out, right? Uh-oh, he's in a bitchy mood tonight. Uh-oh. Anyway, we live in a system where someone like Dick Cheney can have a heart transplant. But if you can't afford the insurance premiums, you can't. Very simple. Healthcare in this country is not a right, it's a privilege. And to live in a country that is supposed to be the most powerful country in the history of the world, American exceptionalism, God loves us and hates everybody else, woohoo, woohoo! And yet, the decisions as to whether someone lives or dies regarding medical treatment is dependent on whether or not, in so many instances, not always, there are diseases that are beyond treatment, and eventually we all die anyway. We really do. Did you know that? I die, you die, he dies, she dies, huh? But being human beings, of course, and being able to be self-referential, we like to think, oh, wait, I think I'll wait on the dying. How about another year? How about another five? So we take, you know, we try to take care of ourselves if we're smart. When we get sick, we try to treat the illness. And if we need a new organ, we try to get one, right? Now, someday all this will be seen as very barbaric and very primitive. But that's what we do now. So, to have an unindicted war criminal and mass killer get a heart transplant whenever he wants one, which is the truth about Dick Cheney, whereas chances are, well, let me take that part out. If you don't have health insurance, you can't have one. Now, isn't that the death panel thing that these dumbassery teabaggers were talking about? Of course, they have it all backwards. The death panels are set up for people who cannot afford health insurance. They're the ones who come face to face with the death panel, right? Oh, God, have I mentioned yet tonight how much I hate these people? Oh, and in the teabag Republican 112th House of Representatives session today, a resolution was introduced by Democrats that would have required every member to state for the record whether or not he or she was receiving the government health insurance that's available to all of them and the kind they want to deny the rest of us. Every single filthy, stinking Republican voted to hide the fact of whether or not he or she was getting the health insurance. Every Democrat voted to reveal it. These hypocritical sons of bitches. So, out there in dumbassery land, hello in dumbass land, all you people who voted for the Republicans, right? Here you go, business as usual. We're gonna lower your taxes. We're gonna create jobs. We're gonna make sure every bill we pass is in keeping with the Constitution. We're gonna cut $100 billion. You know that $100 billion in spending, which is chump change, is already down to $30 billion. Man, out in dumbass land tonight, all the dumbasses are going, what? What's that? Did you hear what the man just said, Ruth? They're gonna... What? They're gonna... What? We'll be right back.
Don't be afraid. Be very afraid. It's Mike Malloy.
25 before the hour. And again, this hour is being sponsored by Eric and David from Miami, Florida, in honor of talk show host Neil Rogers, who recently died. And their message is, thanks for the memories, Neil. You will be missed. And P.S., keep up the great work, Mike. That's very kind. Thank you, guys. I appreciate it. All right, I'm going to step in where angels fear to tread. this will probably generate some emails from irate parents, but I'll do it anyway. The British Medical Journal has issued a report that, as far as I'm concerned, more or less closes the book on what Dr. Andrew Wakefield, a former British surgeon, published in 1998. If you remember, he's the guy that published information, what he called science, that seemed to establish a link between vaccines and autism. And as a result of that, there's no way of knowing how many children in the so-called civilized world are now dead because their parents were terrified to get them vaccinated. Children who died of measles, mumps, rubella, polio, whatever. According to the British Medical Journal, evidence published a decade ago giving birth to the belief of a connection between vaccine and autism has been deemed outright fraud. According to a report today in the British Medical Journal, the autism vaccine link was one of the major medical controversies of the last decade. The authors wrote in the British Medical Journal, clear evidence of falsification of data should now close the door on this damaging vaccine scare. According to the journal, Wakefield stood to gain financially from his purported findings because of his involvement in a lawsuit against manufacturers of the MMR vaccine, measles, mumps, and rubella. British news report said Wakefield was hired as a consultant by lawyers trying to sue the vaccine's manufacturers. His compensation was about $750,000. Apparently, he sat down and falsified the information in order to get the money. The editorial in the British Medical Journal may not be enough to dissuade people who believe Wakefield's claims, no matter how compelling the scientific evidence. According to Dr. Paul Offit, chief of the section of infectious diseases at Children's Hospital in Philadelphia, Offit said it's unfair for the British Medical Journal to call him a fraud because as a fraud, you have to have malicious intent. But if you give Wakefield a lie detector test and ask him if he thinks MMR causes autism, he'd say yes. And he would probably pass the lie detector because he holds to it as one holds to a religious belief. But the science says he's wrong. Wakefield's claim, first published in The Lancet, has since been roundly discredited. His paper was retracted from the journal in February 2010. It is still cited by some doctors and many parents as children, parents and children with autism. Wakefield's 1998 paper only suggested a connection between autism and the MMR vaccine, but public suspicion spread to nearly all other routine vaccines. Offit said people are far more compelled by fear than reason. Over 90% of school-aged children are vaccinated against MMR in most schools nationwide, according to a 2010 report by the U.S. Centers for Disease Control. Still, mumps cases are the second highest reported diseases among all of the vaccine-preventable diseases, according to the CDC. Many experts said many parents more often question whether their children should receive other vaccines, such as pertussis or whooping cough, or varicella, the vaccine against chickenpox. Gary Freed, director of the Division of Pediatrics, University of Michigan Health System, said, quote, there's no doubt that the unsubstantiated concern regarding the MMR vaccine caused by Dr. Wakefield has resulted in many cases of vaccine-preventable diseases, end quote. For some families, this is from ABC News, concern over one vaccine spiraled into fears of others, said Dr. Freed. Dr. Ari Brown, a pediatrician in Austin, Texas, said, quote, the damage that occurred over these years as a result of these concerns, outbreaks of vaccine-preventable diseases, and in some cases deaths, cannot be reversed. Dr. David Amaral, research director of the Mind Institute, University of California, Davis, agreed, adding that many in the scientific community have already let the paper go. The public should do the same, he said. Amaral said, quote, what is most destructive in an episode such as this is the undermining of the public's confidence in the integrity of science. Without replication, fraud and poorly conducted research will not stand the test of time. Now, no sooner did this come out than the National Autism Association says that this article in the British Medical Journal is yet another attempt to thwart vaccine safety research. This just won't stop, will it? According to the National Autism Association, quote, the British Medical Journal published an article today attacking Dr. Andrew Wakefield. Attacking. That's not the case at all. It didn't attack anybody. It said the science was wrong. That's all. But the NAA says the British Medical Journal published an article today attacking Dr. Andrew Wakefield and the work toward a better understanding of the medical issues involved in the development of autism spectrum disorder. A better understanding of the medical issues? That's nonsense. There were no medical issues involved here whatsoever. The National Autism Association insists that autism is caused by one of the chemicals, thimerosal, used as a preservative in these vaccines. This is not a medical issue at all. It just is not. And yet the National Autism Association, in their opening sentence, there's two untruths. NAA president and parent Wendy Fournier said, quote, "It has been proven time and again that vaccines trigger adverse reactions in certain individuals." Why, of course they do. Of course they do. You can get an adverse reaction from the flu vaccine. That's a hell of a lot different than saying a vaccine preservative causes autism. Ms. Fournier went on to say, quote, "While any adverse reaction may be an uncomfortable reality, turning a blind eye to negative outcomes or attacking those who investigate them causes the greater amount of harm to the hundreds of thousands of children injected with vaccines each day." Who attacked Dr. Wakefield? God damn. I mean, I'm sure that when Columbus insisted the world was round, the people attacked him and said, "No, it's not. It's flat." Even when the science was available in the 15th century to prove that it was round. The statement from the National Autism Association and Ms. Fournier says, quote, "A historical study comparing vaccinated versus unvaccinated populations for total health outcomes has the potential to help us learn and find critical answers." What do you mean total health outcomes? What are you talking about? Your organization makes a specific claim that preservatives in vaccine causes autism. That has been totally disproved. She goes on, "Yet repeated requests for such studies have been denied by our federal health agencies." What? What? I mean, what do they want? An historical study comparing vaccinated versus unvaccinated. I'm not in the medical field, but I can tell you right now that all the information you need about vaccinated and unvaccinated and what which child is going to live longer is already there. Have you never heard of the polio vaccine? She goes on to say, "A character assassination initiative against those who look for answers only serves to stunt medical progress for our children and perpetuate unnecessary public health threat." Character assassination? Because it turns out that this man took a bribe, a $750,000 bribe? This is where the National Autism Association and Ms. Fournier and I part company. I wonder if she also believes in the rapture. We'll be back in a moment. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
And all that guides us is a single center line, and the brutal crossing over when it's time.
Because liberal is a good word. It's more Mike Malloy.
When you walk that walk, liberal is a good word, indeed. 10 before the hour. This hour is sponsored by Eric and David from Miami, Florida, in honor of recently passed talk show host Neil Rogers. They write, "Thanks for the memories. You will be missed. And P.S. keep up the great work, Mike." Thanks, guys, for the sponsorship. Sand brown skin writes about his mailman. Sand writes, "Hi, Mike. After your reading about the Patriot Act the other night from SiteZero.org, I have to tell you what my new mailman said to me. He sees my anti-war and other counterculture signage in my yard every day, and last week he said that, quote, this country's messed up because religion's been taken away from schools and everyday life. I said, you got to be a Republican, right? And he admitted he is. So today I was outside when he came, and I asked him how he felt about the new Congress. And he smiled big. I said, are you a Tea Party person? When he said he agreed with their values, I asked him then why he is in a government job and in a union. He didn't know what to say. Then I told him that the new Congress was reading the Constitution on the floor today. He thought that was great. I said, do you know what the Patriot Act says? And when he admitted to knowing something about it, I said, well, you can't believe in the Constitution and the Patriot Act both because they contradict each other. I think that he was baffled by that because he didn't say anything, just goodbye. They're all dumbass thieving hypocrites. P.S. The guy at the gas station the other day asked me if I had been saved. WTF? Oh, that's great. That's great. A mail carrier says they support. This is how crazy things have gotten in this country. A mail carrier who, okay, I know the U.S. Postal Service is not a government organization, but it's funded by the government. It is a semi-private entity. I know. Don't send me an email about that, okay? But here's this guy working for a semi-private organization funded to a large extent by the Congress, by the taxpayers, by us. His whole job depends on that kind of funding. Plus, he's in the Postal Union. This reminds me of the auto workers who, over the years, and I know because I used to work for the UAW, I had a radio show that was sponsored by them. You talk about the leadership of the UAW. I'm thinking of, what was his name, Ron Gettelfinger, who single-handedly murdered the United Auto Workers. No, Gettelfinger's not, no, the one before him died. Gettelfinger is not the head of the UAW anymore, but Gettelfinger almost single-handedly destroyed the union. And with all the givebacks and all the stupidity, when in so many instances the unions, the auto workers' unions, should have gone on strike and said to the bosses, the managers, the capitalists, the corporatists, you know, you are ruining our jobs with your crappy products that you're insisting that we make. Your outsourcing is killing us. So we're going to bring your industry to a stop. They should have done it 30 years ago, but they didn't. They didn't. But so many of those auto workers in Michigan voted Republican. They were Reagan Democrats. How does it feel now, folks? Huh? I've said that before. Michigan has the highest unemployment rate in the country, when at one time it had the lowest. Michigan used to be the home of jobs where one member of the family could go to work and take care of everybody else, put money in the bank, provide for college tuition, buy health insurance, put a little aside for retirement, take care of mom and dad, and it was just too good. It was too good. Too many benefits, so they decided to blow it up, which the Reagan Democrats certainly were entitled to do. It was their lives, their future, their present. They could do anything they wanted. So they did. They bought into the bull crap and decided, well, you know, the Negroes are getting more than I am. That kind of attitude. I don't like immigrants. That kind of attitude. And they voted for Reagan. And they never stopped. And now, look at Michigan. Now look at the auto industry. And now look at those workers. You know, boys, your retirement is not even there. Nothing. Nothing. But it felt good to vote for Ronnie Reagan, didn't it? Huh? 30 years ago, didn't that feel good? Didn't that just feel wonderful? Ooh, damn. And all across the country, the people that decided they were Reagan Democrats, people who had decent jobs, people who had worked hard. I'm not saying they didn't work. They worked their asses off. Were union members. Oh, I've had enough of this. What does that union do for me? Hello? Have you figured it out yet? How's that Reagan-y, Democrat-y thing working out for you, boys and girls, huh? How's it feel? Well, you've done it again. Now you got the teabaggers. And all you folks who work for the post office, who subscribe to the post, to the teabagger philosophy, two words for you. Auto workers. We'll be back after the break. Stick around. I'm Mike Malloy.
Jim Cook.
It is 7 past the hour. This is the Malloy program. And this hour is sponsored by David Biasati. No message, just a sponsorship. Thanks, David. I appreciate it very much. Quick email here from Marmar. Michigan no longer has the nation's highest unemployment rate. Nevada does, and I think even California's is higher than Michigan's now, which speaks volumes about the horrific conditions in Nevada. I wouldn't agree with you on California, however. I may be right. David Bender is co-host of Ring of Fire. He joins us from Northern California. Hey, David.
Hey, Mike. How are you? Happy New Year.
Same to you. Did you watch any of the Dog and Pony Show today?
You know, I was saying to Kathy off air that I know you're an Orwell fan, and I think it is Animal Farm.
Yeah, I think
that we're dealing with here.
Four legs good, two legs bad. Four legs good, two legs bad.
You know, if they really did get down on all fours and start barking, I think it would be more truth in advertising than what we have now.
It's just insanity. It really is. I can't understand why there are 84 new Republican members of the House, but I think I have to believe this. I have to believe that over the next 2 years, it will become apparent that the election of these clowns was an adverse reaction, not unlike a bee sting, and you have to go to the doctor and get an antihistamine or something. It was an adverse reaction. It will pass, and people will start electing progressive Democrats, not blue dogs, not the kind of Democrats that let us down, but true liberal Democrats. I that's my hope, anyway.
Well, you know, I believe in hope. I believe in hope and change. But I have to tell you, and a little background here. And first off, I have stepped away from the microphone. I have been the co-host of Ring of Fire up until last week, and as of this weekend, the new co-host is my dear friend, someone I encourage to step back into the ring. Sam Cedar.
Yeah.
I thought
Sam was joining you and Papantonio.
He's joining Bobby Kennedy and Mike Papantonio. I'm stepping away, and it actually, I'm going to be working on a book and a documentary film, but I have to tell you, Mike, one of the reasons that I am stepping away from the microphone is, frankly, that bee sting, that allergy that you're talking about, that
right.
reaction, is something that has been building in me. And I've been doing politics since 1968 was my first campaign. It was Robert Kennedy's campaign for the presidency.
Mm-hmm.
And that reaction now, that sort of fundamental systemic reaction to what is wrong with this process, this electoral process that we are, and it is not just Republicans. It is
mm-hmm.
Republicans, it's Democrats, it's independents. There is something wrong, and frankly, it goes back 10 years for me. It goes back now almost 11 years to, just 10 plus, to when another branch, another constitutional branch of our government, the Supreme Court, installed a president.
Right.
And for me, as someone who has practiced electoral politics from the ground up, Robert Kennedy, Ted Kennedy, Howard Dean, campaigns that I'm proud to have been a part of in my life, to look at a system that can allow that and then move on as if that is the normal order of things.
I hear you.
Where an installed president can govern and have credibility and move forward to that. And all of the other questions about our electoral process now, when we talk about the Citizens United decision, we're just starting to see. A report came out today that $10 million from a very few hedge fund CEOs, people who could put in literally $10 million into Republican House coffers. That's who elected these bees that have stung the Republic. That's how it's happening. And that is not something that can be changed in any one election. If we voted in Democrats the next time, and as you say, progressive Democrats, guess what? Progressive Democrats were running the House. That's what was just replaced. And unfortunately, the system doesn't allow fundamental change. And that is a deep, deep concern of mine right now.
I would disagree a bit with that, David, about the progressive Democrats who are running the House. I think Nancy Pelosi, it depends on where you or how you define progressivism. You know, remember when Nancy Pelosi took over, one of the first things she said was that she was going to participate in allowing two war criminals to continue to run this country and U.S. foreign policy.
True.
Now, aside from real politic, I mean, what are you doing? You're the Speaker of the House, and if you begin a process like impeachment, which is nothing more than looking for an indictment, if you begin that process, you get on the back of a tiger, and the tiger may turn around and bite you. But if the system is worth saving, then the system should have been used to impeach these two bastards when the Democrats finally took over, because
couldn't agree with you more.
Right. Well, that's why, and there's so many other reasons why I see Pelosi as a good centrist, a center left Democrat, but certainly not a progressive. I just don't see her that way, David.
Well, and again, you're quite right. This is how you define terms. If we're talking progressive with a small p, if we're talking about the Lilly Ledbetter Act, if we're talking about Don't Ask, Don't Tell, if we're talking about the things that are in fact progressive pieces of legislation, many of which passed out of the House and went to the Senate to die.
Mm-hmm.
Nancy Pelosi did that. She did more, someone said today, she did more to fulfill Barack Obama's campaign promises than he did.
Than he did.
Fair
right.
enough.
Right.
But if we are talking about progressive with a capital P,
right.
institutional, fundamental change that we don't have to believe in because we can see it. It is happening in front of us.
Mm-hmm.
You're right. That didn't happen in the House. It didn't happen in the Senate. It is not happening in the White House. And I would argue that the branches of government, the elected branches of government, and therefore electoral politics,
mm-hmm.
don't allow for that institutional fundamental change to occur. They no longer control the levers of power. They're somewhere else on the Atlantic coast, probably more centered on Wall Street than they are near the Capitol.
Well, yes, I agree with that. However, that leads us on to the obvious conclusion that if this country's political system is going to be rescued from the Citizens United crap, if it's going to be rescued from this corporate takeover that's been going on since Ronald Reagan was elected, then
right.
we are going to have to start paying attention to Ralph Nader and Michael Moore and people of that political persuasion and get behind and Noam Chomsky and whomever and get behind and Chris Hedges and get behind people who candidates who are progressives with a capital P, because we are so close to losing the whole thing. And I mean, corporatist is a polite way of saying fascist. Mussolini said, you know, why call what we have here fascism? Call it by what it really is. It's corporatism. And that was back in the 30s or 20s and 30s, for God's sake. So
they're one and the same.
Right.
And this notion somehow that capitalism and corporatism is a source of American pride. And we talk now about how we are exporting the best of America. We want to be this beacon around the globe, and we do not have a functioning democracy. It's the height of hypocrisy that we're telling other countries how to run their elections when
right.
we can't run our own, certainly
right.
not openly and honestly. But more to the point, Mike, when we are talking about, you know, and this is language again, and language matters here.
Sure.
When we're talking about our defense. Remember that the Department of War was changed to the Department of Defense
mm-hmm.
because language in an Orwellian fashion was designed to make us all feel more comfortable about the fact that we were spending money to protect ourselves
mm-hmm.
from these fascists, these Nazis, these communists that threatened our American liberties, when in fact now our defense budget equals the total amount of money spent by every other country on the face of the earth, including Russia, including China.
China. I say, David,
all of them combined, that's what we spent.
David, hold on. We'll be right back with David Bender. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Never know the speaker.
It is 21 past the hour. This hour is sponsored by David Biasotti. Thank you, David. We're talking to David Bender, who is called from Northern California, about a couple of things, not the least of which is the direction that we're heading. All right, you got out of Ring of Fire then to, you sound like you're going to get more active where it concerns...
To keep on rocking in the free world. And by the way, whose version of that wonderful Neil Young song did we just hear coming back in from the break? Do you know who was singing that?
That was Neil Young.
No, that
oh,
was
no.
That.
Neil.
No.
No.
It was just me in my ear. It didn't sound like
no,
Neil.
No,
it's not Neil
it.
Young. It's a cover band that was sent to us by one of our listeners. So it's actually a fan of the
Lord. It's terrific.
Yeah, it was good. I love that.
Neil closes most shows with that, and I've had the privilege to work with Crosby, Stills, and Nash, and and occasionally young over the years, and there's no greater moment than Keep on Rocking in the Free World, and it is a metaphor, and yes, I'm going to try and find other ways, and that's really to the point, Mike, of what I've been suggesting, is that it seems to me now that if we can't find ways to tell the truth,
mm-hmm.
seek the truth, that are not limited by the electoral system, then really, you know, I'm not sure there is a future for the country. We've got to do this in a way that doesn't depend on electing candidates alone to provide change.
That's very true. And this would be a good time for me to mention, I'm not trying to commercialize this conversation, but I'll tell you what. This cruise is coming up, this progressive cruise that
yep.
you and a lot of people, a lot of people who share
Alan
this.
Alan Grayson, former Congressman Alan
right,
Grayson.
Who share this point of view.
Talk about a truth teller.
Are going to all be on this cruise, and for anyone who goes
yep.
along, we are going to have these kinds of discussions, not,
exactly.
you know, not on the radio, not on, not in some forum where back and forth is limited to a chat room or emails, but where people can sit down with folks like Alan Grayson or Bobby Kennedy Jr. or you and have this discussion. And I mean real knockdown, drag out stuff. And I think this progressive cruise, so called, is going to be a hoot. And God only knows what may come out of this. I don't know.
It's going to be a hoot, but it's also going to be something that is a chance to really reinvigorate and refocus our sense of purpose. And I'm not, I'm involved in organizing this. I've been on the previous versions that were done through Air America.
Mm-hmm.
And for people who are interested, let me just say it's progressivecruise.com. We're leaving in a month out of Fort Lauderdale, Florida, going down for a week to the Caribbean. And it sounds like a wonderful time, and it is. You know, there's no question. It's
mm-hmm.
Puerto Rico, it's beautiful, it's Puerto Rico, it's the Bahamas. But here's the truth of it, Mike, that if we don't take some time away from, you know, the day-to-day
mm-hmm.
and actually talk through what this larger vision is, what this game plan is, we get caught up in it's just incoming. It's taking in
right.
all the stuff. It's dealing with the latest right-wing atrocity one after another without really stepping back and saying, okay, what is our long-term view? And the Republicans and the right-wingers are damn good at doing that. That's
right.
what they do. They
yeah.
take the long view. It's time that we did some of that ourselves, and we can.
There is no lack of talent on the left in this country. It's just so scattered. It's here, it's there, it's over there. And the voices are drowned out. The media in this country, I don't have to tell you, you understand media probably better than I do, that it has been so taken over by this neo-fascist right. It's so hard to get people together. It's so hard to get a message out. It's so hard to get the truth out. And I think in these discussions that we're going to have on this trip, in addition to having some fun, I think these discussions are going to be very important. So,
I really hope people will come and join us. And we've got a great group coming, but there's still room for people to join. I want to mention someone who I'm a big fan of. And the last time we spoke about this, she hadn't signed on. Former Congresswoman Patricia Schroeder.
Oh, really?
From Colorado.
Great.
Is now joining us. One of the real bright lights. Talk about a trailblazer. This is the woman who credibly ran for president 20 years before Hillary Clinton. And one of the people who really shook up
mm-hmm.
the defense establishment. She's the first woman ever to serve on the House Armed Services Committee. She's going to be on this cruise along with Alan Grayson, along with Mike Malloy, along with Mike Farrell. Mike Farrell from MASH, who's
mm-hmm.
been the head of human rights organizations, is one of the leading artists against the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. I mean, we've got some really incredible people coming together on this cruise.
Well, the website again is progressivecruise.com, correct?
It is indeed.
All right. All right, David, I look forward to seeing you, and I hope that it's going to be a complete sellout. Thanks for chatting. Let's talk again before we do this cruise, all right?
I'm looking forward to it, Mike, and looking forward to Kathy and Molly. It's going to be a great time.
We're going to have fun. Thanks, David.
All right. Thank you.
All right, sir. Take care. We'll be right back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Oh, the kids can do miracles.
You win a few, you lose a few. What the hell was wrong with that? Who knows? Go ahead. What?
Yeah, I just want to, I think maybe some of our listeners might have missed it. David Bender is one of those fast talkers, which I really appreciate, but, you know, sometimes it's kind of hard to keep up. Because I are one. But what I want to let everybody know is, there'll be some families on this ship. Shelley Fabre, who's Mike Farrell's wife, the actress Shelley Fabre, will be there. And Molly and I are going. And I'm looking for folks to come and volunteer to babysit. So send me an email. She is a delight, and she goes 24 hours like the Energizer Bunny. Any English teachers out there who would like to offer to tutor her while she's out of school for a week, I just want to let everybody know it's not going to just be all politics and nose to the grindstone. There'll be plenty of that and plenty of upfront meets with, Bobby Kennedy Jr. and Mike Malloy. But we'll be there, too, so it'll be fine.
25 before the hour, and this hour, again, is sponsored by David Biasati. Thanks, David, for your sponsorship. An email from Kay Petrini, who isn't just our educational correspondent. She also writes emails when she is in agreement with something or extremely pissed off. She writes, Mike, a family conversation on New Year's Eve clarified for me how this Tea Party Congress came about. Forget all the polls and statistics. The corporatocracy has us right where they want us. My brother, who is a general contractor, and my cousin, who is an auto mechanic, were talking about the salaries of San Francisco bus drivers over dinner. Both my brother and cousin are self-employed. My brother maintained that $90,000 a year is an excessive salary for people holding that job, bus driver, while my cousin disagreed. They bantered on about unions, overtime pay, housing costs, and the challenges of driving a bus in a city like San Francisco. After about 10 minutes of listening, I'd had enough. That's when I jumped in and said, "Don't you get it? You're playing right into their hands. This is what the robber barons want. They want those of us who earn $50,000 a year to resent the people earning $90,000 per year. They want us to keep us busy fighting over what to them is chump change, because that way none of us will pay attention to the banking bastards who made off of $700 billion of our tax dollars, or the obscene amount of revenue going to mercenaries like Halliburton, or the billions per month going down the twin rat holes of Afghanistan and Iraq." There was silence. Then my brother raised his glass and said, "Here's to my sister for cutting through all the BS. She's right." Keith Olbermann's interview with Lee Gerard of the United Steelworkers last night exposed the key players in the relentless attacks on unions in this country: the Republican Party and the Koch brothers. These bastards should be the targets of our rage, not the person making $90,000 a year driving a bus through San Francisco's narrow streets or blighted neighborhoods. The right-wingers in this country have been working tirelessly for the past 30 years to destroy the unions and the middle class. And as long as we fight with each other over the scraps they deign to let fall from their lavish dinner tables, they will surely finish the job. Just saying. Kay. Yeah, that is so true. Throw the dogs a bone and let them fight over the bone while you steal everything in sight. I get so tired of it. I think that's one of the points Bender was making about bailing out of Ring of Fire. Kathy and I have talked many times about just packing it in. Now, don't send me emails, we're not going to. But we've talked many times about just ending this nonsense. you know, for us. Instead of dealing with this on a day-to-day basis and seeing all the stuff and researching all the stuff that we do for this program, and the depressing mood that puts us in, a combination of depression and anger, although they're both the same sides of different sides of the same coin. Depression is what? Unexpressed anger? But to deal with that every single day of your working life, I'm not whining. Don't get me wrong. I'm not whining at all. I choose to do this, and she chooses to produce the show. I mean, I could go back to selling magazine subscriptions on the phone tomorrow. She could go back to being a waitress tomorrow. Or no, not this time. This time be a bartender, right? They make more money, right? But we choose to stay in this. But sometimes, you know, we really question, you know, what's the point? Because the odds against sane people in this country seem to be monumental. The odds against sane people reasserting ourselves and claiming the government that needs to be run by sane people. You can't have insanity. I mean, look at us. Look where we are. Look where this country is. Is all of this the result of sane, honest people running the country, both domestically, foreign policy, government, politics? Would you say that what we are witnessing, what is out there today, is a result of sanity? Was it the result of sanity right before the Great Depression of the 30s? Was it sanity and responsibility and clear thinking? Or was it the kind of filthy, rotten corruption that defines capitalism? It defines it. And the filthy, rotten corruption, evidenced by members of Congress then, members of Congress now. I mean, this country is not being led by sane, rational people. How long has it been since it was? There are a few scattered, but in government. But as you watch this. God, this is a point where I wish I was only on satellite radio so I could really express myself. But when you watch today what occurred, and we have a word for it out in the country, but I won't get into it. I can't say the word on the air, obviously. But when you watch this disgusting example of these nutballs. I watched a little bit of ABC tonight. Diane Sawyer is doing this little series all this week, I guess, of talking with some of these incoming teabag bastards. And, of course, Diane Sawyer is an old Nixon speechwriter. I mean, Diane Sawyer is as far right as you can get without tipping over. But there she sits with these Republican scum trying to ask the penetrating questions about what you guys are really here for. She had about 9 men and one woman. And to listen to that conversation, the one woman is from Missouri. She's a representative. And Sawyer did say to her, now you're talking about cutting government spending. What about the $750,000 you got last year in farm subsidies? And the woman just sat there and, well, we're going to take a look at everything. Well, you know, and Sawyer, I have to give her credit, although I'm not very much. She pushed it just a little bit. You know, well, you talk about cutting spending. And then she turned to one of the men, another Republican. They're all Republicans. And she said, and from Indiana, she said, well, you got $100,000 last year on farm subsidies. Are you going to vote against farm subsidies? Are you going to vote in favor of ending them? And this bastard, too, just kind of sat there, although I think he said, yes, I think it's time to end it. But the woman, the member of Congress from Missouri, I just wonder, did the people who listened to her rhetoric, who listened to her talk about bloated government, We got to do something to stop the spending. I wonder if they realized that she and her family scammed $750,000 last year for not planting crops or whatever farm subsidies are these days. The hypocrisy is unbelievable. So, you know, you deal with that every single day. And I guess if I understood Bender, I guess it finally got to David. It gets to us on a regular basis. And we just say, well, what are you going to do? You just keep swinging, I guess. Or as Bart Kopp says, you keep hammering. Have you been to his website? Bart Kopp, BARTCOP.com. If you haven't been there, you know, I just got one question for you. Why the hell not? Go to this guy's website, Bart, B-A-R-T, like in the cartoon. Cop, BartCop.com. We'll be right back. This hour is sponsored by David Biasati. David, I hope I'm pronouncing it right. Thanks for the sponsorship. Nora writes in, Hi, Mike. In addition to American taxes paying for Dick Cheney's seemingly unlimited and endless medical care, via public health care insurance, well, the likes of Cheney's anti-social Republican tribe stands in the way of health care for all. There's another aspect of irony here. Americans' taxes are also a major source of medical and pharmaceutical research funding, which means we pay for the medical advances most of us are consistently denied based on cost. I repeat, the advances that have saved Cheney's life repeatedly are regularly denied Americans on the basis of what they can pay, despite the fact that Americans have paid for those medical advancements for decades. Deceased liver disease sufferers paid with their taxes for the research to develop those liver transplant operations. Paid through taxes that went to the National Institutes of Health, through taxes to state universities, and taxes to local hospitals. Advanced medicine is paid for by we the people, but only the wealthy elite and power mongers get access to it, no questions asked. It is a ruthless system twisted for the benefit of the elites. Social in development of medicine by the people's graces, but antisocial in its distribution, limited to the elites who can use each advancement without pause or concern for money. American medical delivery, wrong from every angle, clearly. Nora. Isn't that the truth? You know, why are we having any kind of a debate about health care delivery in this country at all? This is a part that is just absolutely maddening to me. Why is this still allowed to go on? That the delivery of health care is a for-profit business. And like Nora points out, all the medical research starts out someplace on tax money. Well, what about those private pharmaceutical companies and the private research organizations? The point she was trying to make was that tax money primes the pump. Somebody wants to set up a little bio lab and start doing genetic research. That is so new. It's not even on the chart yet. But it's just astonishing to me that we are still in the process of denying 50, 60 million of our citizens health care because they can't afford insurance. Aside from the fact that the rest of the planet that has single-payer health care, and they look at us like we are just a goddamn madhouse. Well, as Greg Palast said, an armed madhouse. Aside from that, I mean, even when you set aside that kind of humiliation, when was the last time you traveled overseas and engaged somebody from a different country in a conversation about what goes on back here? Aside from the acute embarrassment. Now, I know the teabaggers and the NRA people and the right-wing loonies and, well, I'm an American, goddammit! They never read the book, The Ugly American. They don't understand that when they open their mouths and say that now, when they're standing on somebody in somebody else's country, that person looks at the American and says, yeah, you are, aren't you? Uh-huh. You are. I can tell. I can tell by the way you shoot off your goddamn mouth. I can tell by the way you stink as you stand here in my country. Aside from that embarrassment, is the real issue of 50, 60,000 people in this country, a million people with no health insurance, 90 million on food stamps, kids going hungry because, you know, you give a child decent nutrition sponsored by the state, and he's going to grow up to be a communist. Better dead than red, right? That has a couple of meanings. It just gets so incredibly, unbelievably frustrating. So today, we had the chance to see the Dog and Pony Show. And tomorrow, and next week, and next month, we will watch these clueless Republicans from Dumbassville across the fruited plain as they decide to really tackle the bloated government. Let me just suggest to all you representatives from Dumbassville, the place where you can take out your knives and start carving, the war budget. Okay, let's see if you have the courage to do that. Let's see if you're serious. Go after defense spending. There, trillions of dollars have been spent on what? But you phony sons of bitches would no more do that than fly to the moon. Stick around. The next hour is going to be a killer. I'm Mike Malloy. It is 7 past the hour. You know, I'm still trying to decide about the case of U.S. Navy Captain Owen Honors, who was relieved of his post yesterday after it was revealed that he filmed raunchy videos laden with homophobia and sexual innuendo and then broadcast them to the crew of the USS Enterprise 4 or 5 years ago. You got to wonder why this stuff is coming up now. This was done in 2006 and 2007. And it's now, let me take a look at the calendar. Yep, by golly, it's 2011. I don't know. Nothing ever happens politically, or in the military for that matter, that is not carefully thought out and planned. I mean, this kind of stuff, the exposés. I'm not talking about combat. No matter how many plans you make where it concerns combat, they're going to go awry. But there's something about the story that just continues to eat at me. The latest is Glenn Close, the actress, the Academy Award. Didn't she win Academy Award, Glenn Close? I think so. Well, if she hasn't, we just credit her with an Academy Award anyway. I think she did. It doesn't matter. She appears in one of the videos near the... She's in a montage. She makes a cameo appearance in a montage at the end of this video. And she confirmed that she is gravely offended. Blah, blah, blah. Aside from Glenn Close's star status and so on and so forth, I keep going back to the hypocrisy, the difference in how we react, how the military reacts to the same situation. For example, here this guy, his career has ended, but you remember General William Boykin? Do you remember him? No? All right, I guess I should properly identify him as Lieutenant General. He was only 3 stars, not 4. But he was the United States Deputy Undersecretary of Defense for Intelligence. And General Boykin, who is now, he retired, he's a professor at Hampton-Sydney College in Virginia. He played a role when he was in active duty in almost every recent major American military operation, including Grenada, Somalia, and Iraq. He was the one who said he saw the outline of Satan in the sky above Mogadishu. Remember this guy? A religious fundamentalist of the wacko kind. I mean, the crazy, insane, rapture-ready, let's murder everybody except the good Christians. And that narrows the Christians down quite a bit, too. Lieutenant General William G. Boykin. He was never disciplined for anything. And I get to what he did here in just a moment. But going back to Owen Honors, Captain Owen Honors, you can make a very strong argument, and I would, against using the kind of racial and sexual slurs that Owens used in the making of his video to play for his troops, his onboard, his sailors. Very childish, not what you would expect. Or is it from a Top Gun F-14 fighter pilot, which is what Captain Owens was before he took over command? I'm sorry, Captain Honors. I keep calling him Captain Owens. My bad. Captain Owen Honors. But if you saw the Tom Cruise movie, of course this is what you would expect from one of these young Top Gun pilots who now Navy pilots who now becomes commander or captain of the USS Enterprise. But is there a connection between Don't Ask, Don't Tell repeal and the cashiering of Cap Honors? I don't know. I wonder. But let me go back to Lieutenant General William G. Boykin. He gained notoriety for his Christian fundamentalist views over the years, and plus some public remarks. Boykin is a born-again Christian who puts the so-called war on terror in biblical terms. This is Gog and Magog to this psychopath. This is Satan and the forces of good to this religious fundamentalist nut. A Pentagon investigation in 2004 concluded that he had violated regulations by failing to explain his remarks. Explained that his remarks were not made in an official capacity. In other words, you know, you have standing in front of you a three-star general in full uniform, full battle regalia, all of his ribbons across his chest, and he's giving a talk to a bunch of mouth-breathing, rapture-ready Christian fundamentalists. And you know, this connection between militarism and Christianity is you think the Muslims are warlike? Oh, please. Only when they're invaded. But the Christians do the invading. So here you have standing before you, you're a mouth-breathing Christian fundy. You ache, your body aches for the time that your clothes fall away and you rise through the atmosphere or something. I don't know. At some point you get up there and you can't breathe and you suffocate. I don't know how they figure this stuff out. You wind up on Arcturus or some other star system, and I don't know. It's utter nonsense. But they're watching this lieutenant general talking about the clash between evil Islam and beautiful, wonderful, lovely, warlike, murderous, conquering Christianity. Well, what's going to happen to your mind? What's going to happen? Your imagination is much better than my vocabulary, so you go ahead and figure it out. But anyway, General Boykin got all this media coverage for his statements when he framed the war on terror in religious terms. It was first broadcast on NBC News back in 2003. The military analyst for NBC News, NBC Television News, was the source of this video and audio tapes of Boykin. And the following day, the L.A. Times ran a piece on Boykin. Among several quotes, the L.A. Times article revealed Boykin giving a speech about hunting down Osman Atto in Mogadishu, Somalia. This is what Boykin said, quote, you know, he went on CNN and he laughed at us. And he said, they'll never get me because Allah will protect me. Allah will protect me. Well, you know what? I knew that my God was bigger than his. I knew that my God was a real God, and his was an idol. Now, that's a quote from a three-star general, a guy who is Undersecretary of Defense for Intelligence. Huh? Boykin later tried to clarify his statement, saying that he was implying that Atto's true God was money. So, not only is he a religious freak and a fanatic, but he's a filthy liar. There's more here. Because, you know, I want to go through this because Captain Owen Honors loses his command and has his career ended. And this miserable son of a bitch, this Lieutenant General William G. Boykin, who wants the earth to burn so that his particular sky spook will come back and find wonder and glory in all the charred corpses, this guy serves out his career and winds up as a college professor. We'll be right back. Oh, I believe I'll die in the army of the Lord. In the army. Oh, I believe I'll die in the army of the Lord. I believe I will die in the army. I'm a soldier in the... We'll be right back.
renegade talk radio done right. From the left, it's Mike Malloy.
21 past the hour. Navy Captain Owen Honors has had his career ended for putting together 5 years ago a stupid adolescent, I think you and I would consider it, stupid adolescent video with all sorts of sexual innuendo, gay and not gay, in the video. A lot of stuff that could be considered demeaning to women, gay folk, and men, for that matter. And he loses his command and his career. Lieutenant General William Boykin was United States Deputy Undersecretary of Defense for Intelligence, played a role in almost every recent American military operation, and he's a Christian nutcase, and he was left completely alone. He's also a liar. Anyway, Boykin's remarks about his God being a real God and Allah being just an idol. look how pissed off I make the Christian fundamentalists. Can you imagine an Islamic fundamentalist hearing someone who has a position in both the military and quasi-government position as the Undersecretary of Defense for Intelligence, making statements that their entire religion is false, whereas his religion is real, right? As you can guess, his remarks stirred a lot of anger in the Muslim world, and Islamic organizations within the United States were very critical of the comments, called for his resignation. Newsweek magazine called for his resignation. Democrats John Kerry and Joe Lieberman denounced the remarks. Senate Armed Service Committee Chairman at the time, John Warner, and Democrat Carl Levin both urged Rumsfeld to launch an investigation. John Conyers, representative, and 26 supporters put forward House Resolution 419 condemning religiously intolerant remarks and calling on the president to clearly censure and reassign Lieutenant General Boykin, end quote. Well, none of that happened. Bush ran from the statements. All Bush said was that Boykin didn't reflect my point of view or the point of view of this administration. Rumsfeld defended Boykin, describing him as an officer that has an outstanding record in the United States Armed Forces, and that the war on terrorism was not a war against religion. And Rumsfeld also spoke about, and he did this with a straight face, about the right of freedom of speech. General Boykin had freedom of speech. Navy Captain Owen Honors does not. Marine General Peter Pace, at the time Vice Chairman of the Joint Chiefs, revealed, quote, how sad Boykin was that his comments created the fury they had. He does not see this battle as a battle between religions. He sees this as a battle between good and evil. Right. My God's bigger than your God. As a matter of fact, your God is an idol. You son of a bitch. Boykin, General Boykin, issued a public statement himself. His statement said, quote, my comments to Osman Atto in Mogadishu were not referencing his worship of Allah, but his worship of money and power, idolatry. He was a corrupt man, not a follower of Islam. My references to Judeo-Christian roots in America, or our nation as a Christian nation, are historically undeniable, end quote. Of course, wasn't it the Treaty of Tripoli, or when we battled the pirates way back at the beginning of this country, where was it Jefferson? Was it Washington? Was it Adams? Who was it? Said in signing the treaty, it's included in the treaty, the United States is not, never was, never shall be, I'm paraphrasing, a Christian nation. So General Boykin here, I don't know, when he says our nation is a Christian nation, is historically undeniable. I'm not sure of where he gets at. Anyway, CNN later revealed that several parts of his statement, the one he gave in apologizing, har, 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 for what he said, several parts of the statement were removed on the advice of Pentagon attorneys. Among the parts removed was Boykin's assertion that, quote, the sensitivities of my job today dictate that further church speeches are inappropriate. As a Christian, I believe that there is a spiritual war that is continuous, as articulated in the Bible. And it's not confined to just the war on terrorism. End quote. The Defense Department carried out a 10-month investigation and concluded in August 2004 that Boykin had broken three rules in giving the speeches, not clarifying that he gave the remarks in a private capacity. Number two, he hadn't received clearance for making remarks. And three, that he hadn't declared the reimbursement of travel funds by one of the religious groups during the speaking events. However, the report made no comment on the actual remarks, and no action was taken against Boykin because the infractions are quite minor and are rarely prosecuted by officials. Well, we'll be right back. Once I had my day, but all of that is changed now. Truth begins again. Truth is not that comfortable, no.
Defining anger management. It's Michael Long.
I'm just comparing the reaction to U.S. Navy Captain Owen Honor's videotape and what happened to him. In showing this videotape to his people under his command 5 years ago, and the fact that yesterday he was fired, essentially, relieved of his command of the USS Enterprise, and more or less cashiered. His commission's not been taken away from him, but when you reach the level of Commander Honors and have something like this happen, you retire. I mean, what else are you going to do? Because your career is effectively over. Comparing that to the career of Lieutenant General William G. Boykin, a religious fanatic who insisted that there was a mighty war occurring on the planet between the forces of good, the Christians, and the forces of evil, the Muslims, and that he, General Boykin, was one of the chief warriors within this religio-fascist drama. And nothing happened to William Boykin. William Boykin would travel around the country in full uniform, giving speeches to the crazed Christian fundamentalists who would gaze at him in wonder and awe. He finally was investigated by the Defense Department and found that he had broken three rules, but the report defended its decision not to do anything with Boykin for several reasons, primarily because, quote, freedom of expression considerations under the First Amendment to the U.S. Constitution apply in this case, end quote. So the Defense Department decided that a three-star general who has been involved in almost every armed conflict in recent history of the United States, a three-star general could travel around the United States and wherever, spouting religious insanity to people, inciting Islamic people around the world to start rending their garments and picking up their weapons to defend their sky spook, whereas General Boykin says, my sky spook is real, yours is not. You see how insane this is? Meanwhile, some of the commentators back in this country, some of the real crazy ones like Pat Buchanan, Every time I see Buchanan on NBC or MSNBC, I just think to myself, why? This is the guy who used to write speeches for Dick Nixon and Spiro Agnew. Pat Buchanan is a real anti-Semite. I mean, a real one. His solution to the problem in the Middle East is to incinerate the Jews. Ooh, I hope that makes it onto the right-wing blogs. Let me say it again. Pat Buchanan's solution is to burn the Jews! Of course, he couches that in Catholic, how do I say it, theological terms. Buchanan is one that believed that Pope Pius was within his rights to form alliances with the Nazis when they really did burn the Jews. But anyway, I digress. Pat Buchanan believed there was nothing wrong in what Boykin said. Of course not. Buchanan is a religious nut of the worst kind. The absolute, he's right up there with Boykin. Others saw the criticism of Boykin as an attack on Christian values in this country by the Democratic Party. Of course. Of course. An attack on Christian values by the godless Democrats. The Democrats are not godless. I am godless. The Democrats are not. William Arkin, the guy who originally, he was the military affairs analyst for NBC Television News. Arkin was also accused of taking Boykin out of context. And Arkin's impartiality as a reporter was called into question since at one time he worked for, oh my God, Greenpeace. No! Another time he worked for, oh no, Human Rights Watch! And he also worked for, can this be real? The Institute for Policy Studies. Well, there you go! He hates Jesus! And he hates Christians. The media coverage was also seen by the right-wing crazy people in this country as being an orchestrated campaign by Islamic admirers defending terrorism and trying to discredit those who warn of Islamist hijacking and perverting the Muslim faith, end quote. U.S. Navy Captain Owen Honors relieved of his post yesterday after it was revealed he filmed raunchy videos laden with homophobia and sexual innuendo and broadcast them to the crew of the USS Enterprise 5 years ago. Lieutenant General William Boykin, United States Deputy Undersecretary of Defense for Intelligence, played a role in almost every major American military operation in recent history. Grenada, Somalia, Iraq. Now a college professor. What happened to him? When he went off his nut and started seeing angels and chariots and demons fighting in the sky above Mogadishu, Somalia. What happened to him? He was defended because he had a right to freedom of speech. Even though he was an active military commander with the power of life and death. But anyway, on April 10, 2008, Boykin spoke at Epicenter 2008, a conference in Israel, hosted by Joel Rosenberg. This is his closing statement, which got a large round of applause. We as believers have been promised that we will spend an eternity with God. Last Saturday, I was doing a men's conference in Fredericksburg, Virginia. And I was praying during the worship service, and something dawned on me, and it was the Holy Spirit speaking to me. And the Holy Spirit said, this is what I want you to share with my men today. And I'm going to share it with you, and this is what it is. One day we're going to stand before the gates of heaven. Some of us want to be able to walk up there in a white robe. And we want to sing Abba Father and Amazing Grace. And we want to say to the Lord, I worshiped you. But I want you to think about this. Here's the way I want to enter the gates of heaven. I want to come skidding in there on all fours. I want to be slipping and sliding, and I want to hit the gates of heaven with a bang. When I stand up and I stand before Christ, I want there to be blood on my knees and my elbows. I want to be covered with mud. And I want to be standing there with a ragged breastplate of righteousness and a spear in my hand. And I want to say, look at me, Jesus! I've been in the battle. I've been fighting for you. Ladies and gentlemen, put your armor on and get into battle. God bless you. Lieutenant General William Boykin had freedom of speech. Lieutenant General William Boykin finished up his career and is now a professor at Hampton-Sydney College in Virginia. He is also the author of a book entitled Never Surrender, A Soldier's Journey to the Crossroads of Faith and Freedom. U.S. Navy Captain Owen Honors was relieved of his post yesterday after it was revealed he filmed raunchy videos. What do you think? On September 26, 2009, Lieutenant General Boykin gave an address at a How to Take Back America conference in St. Louis, Missouri, hosted by the Eagle Forum, Bill Schlafly. According to the Canada Free Press, General Boykin asked the audience, what are you prepared to give up for America? Are you prepared? Are you willing to pay the ultimate price? There's no greater threat to America than Islam. Lord! And in 2010, Boykin, along with co-authors such as former CIA Director R. James Woolsey Jr. and neocon activist Frank Gaffney Jr., released a book entitled Sharia, The Threat to America, published by the Center for Security Policy, a Washington-based neocon think tank. The book describes what its authors call a stealth jihad that must be thwarted before it's too late. And says that most mosques in the United States are centers of energy designed to overthrow the government? No. Christianity. But meanwhile, U.S. Navy Captain Owen Honors was relieved of his command yesterday because he filmed a raunchy video.
Talk like an angel. But I got wise. You're the devil in disguise. Oh, yes, you are. Devil in disguise. You fool me with your kisses. You cheated and you schemed.
Just felt here in the last hour of the program tonight to add my voice to the ever-dwindling cacophony of caterwauling concerning the cashiering, more or less, of U.S. Navy Captain Owen Honors, relieved of his post yesterday after it was revealed he filmed raunchy videos laden with bad stuff, you know, bad stuff, and broadcast them to his crew of the USS Enterprise 5 years ago. And how young Captain Owens now finds himself more or less unemployed, I guess, right? His career over. Top Gun pilot, F-14 fighter, kick ass, take names, and if we're going to have a military, right? If we're going to have a military, who do you want in command positions? Do you want a Captain Owen Honors, or do you want a Lieutenant General William G. Boykin, who is a Christian reductionist? Can I use that term? Is that a real term? Did I just make that up? He reduces everything to a battle between the forces of Jesus and the forces of everything else. Right? William G. Boykin, who traveled the country in full uniform, denouncing Islam, he would be denouncing what's another religion, Kathy? Hinduism. There you go. He would be denouncing Hinduism if he had a chance. As a matter of fact, I think he did. Isn't he the one that talked about religions that worship cows? You know, get your cow head God out of my face or something. I mean, this guy, really, who do you want? Honest to God, who do you want? Who do you want representing the military might of the United States of America, as diminished as we are becoming? Who do you want? Do you want Captain Owen Honors or Lieutenant General William Boykin? Me? I would sign on with Captain Honors, to tell you the truth, were I so inclined to do such a thing. Lieutenant General William Boykin would cause me to hike up my drawers and run like crazy to get as far away from this madman as I possibly could. Because what he wants is to burn the world into a cinder. Because that would fulfill God's statement to Noah along the lines of, well, okay, never again am I going to destroy my little planet here with water. Done it once, been there, done that, ain't going to do it again. Tell you what, Noah, next time I'm going to burn it. I'm going to burn it. And William Boykin, Lieutenant General retired William Boykin, saw himself as an instrument of that psychopathic sky spook's will. And Lieutenant General William Boykin obviously took upon himself the very heavy, responsible burden of trying to incite, probably global thermonuclear war with somebody, hopefully with those dirty, rotten, stinking Allah worshippers. Right? His term, not mine. I think it's all madness. It's all insanity. But you got to wonder. Let me rephrase it. Wrong pronoun. I got to wonder how many other people, like retired Lieutenant General William G. Boykin, who are crazy, insane, eaten up with this religious fanaticism, how many of those people are in positions of command and control in this country's military? We know the Air Force has pretty much gone over to the side of the angels. You know the Air Force. Oh, my God. They are all warriors for Jesus. But I just wonder how many ranking military officers are eaten up with this crazed religious nonsense to the point where doing something that would spark a global conflict. Doing something of that sort is not beyond them if they felt that it would bring to fruition the craziness of their religious beliefs. And the collateral damage? The 5 or 6 billion people on Earth? 7, 8, whatever the hell the number is. I don't know anymore. I don't care. Don't email me. I really don't care at this point. Do you? But billions of people burned. Their lives ended. Why? Because of some freak in a position to do such a thing feels St. Peter whispering in his ear, or God, like George W. Bush did. Do you realize how close we came with Bush? What if God would have whispered in Bush's ear, George, push the buttons? I'll see you tomorrow night. Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy.